The Honorable Judges of the United States Court of Appeals in and for the Seventh Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this Honorable Court are admonished to draw near and give their attention, as the Court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court.
And good morning. Our first case for argument this morning is West versus Kind. All right, I see Mr. Gowan and Mr. Keenan. Can you both hear me?
Yes, Judge.
Yes, Your Honor.
I have to adjust this camera a little bit. There we go. Okay. All right, you may proceed, Mr. Gowan.
Thank you, Judge Sykes. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Nicholas Gowan, and I represent the appellant Rufus West, also known as Muslim Mansa Utalo Iyabo. Mr. West is a devout male Muslim inmate incarcerated at the Green Bay Correctional Facility. His religious beliefs do not permit him to be seen naked by someone of the opposite sex who's not his wife. If so, he believes he'll be punished for eternity in hellfire. The defendants violated the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, or RLUIPA, and the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution when it assigned a prison guard, defendant Isaac Buell, a transgender male whose biological sex is observably female, to strip search Mr. West, despite Mr. West's objections due to his deeply held beliefs. The district court also erred in granting the defendant summary judgment against West on his RLUIPA claim and screening out his Fourth Amendment claim. Judges, as an initial matter, this is not a case about the rights of transgender people in the employment context, nor the abhorrent discrimination that transgender people often experience in many aspects of their lives. This case is about an individual inmate's rights, religious beliefs, and protections afforded him pursuant to RLUIPA, the Prison Rape Elimination Act, which is PREA, and the Fourth Amendment, to not be subjected to a cross-sex strip search. This is a case about sex, not gender. Although the Supreme Court has held that gender necessarily involves issues of sex, the converse is not necessarily true. Here, in fact, this is that situation. Now, there are primarily four points that I would like to address. First, there's no dispute that Mr. West has a sincerely held belief that he will be punished in the afterlife if a biological female, other than his wife, sees his new genitals. But RLUIPA provides that it is not the court's role to determine the validity of Mr. West's beliefs. Essentially, that is what the district court did. Second, Your Honors, the defendant's actions substantially burden Mr. West's free exercise of religion by requiring him to submit to a cross-sex strip search. The district court here, in holding that Mr. West was required to show that he was repeatedly prevented from exercising his religion to establish a substantial burden. RLUIPA provides no such requirement. We've seen no case that provides such. In fact, the appellees, the defendants, only cited cases that established that if there was an event that would necessarily occur multiple times, then that would be a substantial burden. But there is no case that we found that says that it cannot be just one situation.
Mr. Gowan, focusing on the question of genuine issue of material fact, is it the appellant's position that there are issues of fact with regard to what occurred during the strip search, whether Buell saw West, and West's testimony on this relative severity as between whether a woman saw him and a man saw him? And does it continue to be the appellant's position that there's also genuine issues of material fact on the least restrictive means component, specifically whether or not the strip search had to be done by Buell and whatever scheduling burden there may be on the state with regard to male-female guard scheduling? Are those examples of issues of material fact, or am I reading that too broadly?
No, Judge, those are examples of material fact. If I may, I'm not sure if the issue of scheduling is still an issue in this appeal, because I believe that the appellee has waived that argument, but I will leave that to the state to argue. But essentially, there are issues of material fact remaining as to the severity of the view that Mr. Buell viewed Mr. West, and I am using Mr. Buell, I am using Mr. because that is his preferred gender pronoun, Your Honor. There's also an issue of material fact regarding what the severity of the view was between Buell and West.
Thank you.
Regarding substantial burden, RLUIPA doesn't require that an inmate's religious beliefs be violated multiple times. Now, that cannot be so. Once is enough, because in this situation, the prison's policy and Mr. Buell's actions required Mr. West to choose between abiding by his own religious beliefs and facing disciplinary actions, which would also violate his religious beliefs. And there's no case that we have found that holds that the defendants need to repeatedly infringe upon Mr. West's religious exercise for it to be a violation of their religion. The third point I'd like to address, Your Honors, is the prison's refusal to accommodate Mr. West by only slightly modifying Mr. Buell's work schedule was not in furtherance of any compelling government interest and was not the least restrictive ways of furthering his government interest. Accommodating Mr. West's request would not violate Mr. Buell's rights under the Equal Protection Clause or Title VII based on Mr. Buell's transgender status. Now, even if the prison had a compelling interest in protecting Mr. Buell's rights as a transgendered employee, Buell's rights are not automatically superior to those of West. Now, therefore, the prison's refusal to modify Mr. Buell's schedule to protect Mr. West's rights under RLUIPA is a violation of the statute. Now, this court held in Kennedy 1, which we cite in our papers, that when there is a dispute between a prison guard's equal employment opportunity and an inmate's privacy concerns related to a cross-sex strip search, courts must consider the imposition of the respective rights. Here, the respective rights are, Mr. Buell has a deeply held belief that he's going to burn in hell for the rest of his days in eternity. Versus if someone who's not the female, excuse me, if a female who is not his wife sees him nude. On the other hand, you have only a small imposition to Mr. Buell, Officer Buell. If his schedule were just merely shifted, or if he were shifted a few feet to search another inmate within the same area. You know, the duty of strip searching Mr. West was apparently so insignificant to Mr. Buell that, according to his affidavit, he didn't even recall the event, number one. And number two, there are at least 10 other individuals at the time that Mr. Buell submitted the affidavit who had requested that Buell not search them. Now, we don't know how many of those individuals made this decision based on deeply held religious beliefs, and we don't attempt to get into that discussion. But the reality is, this wasn't the first time that someone had made that request, and Mr. Buell had abided by that request. But it should not be up to the individual prison guards to make that decision. This should not be a decision that's made on the ground. This should be a policy and an accommodation that Mr. Buell should, excuse me, this should be an accommodation that Mr. West should be able to take advantage of, pursuant to RLUIPA, and quite frankly, PREA. You know, the relative positions between Mr. West and Mr. Buell, quite frankly, are incomparable. And just to be clear, Mr. West is not arguing that he doesn't want to interact with Mr. Buell at all. In fact, the record shows that he had known Officer Buell for a long period of time while Buell was a prison guard in Green Bay. Mr. West is not saying he doesn't want Officer Buell to search his cell. Mr. West isn't saying he doesn't want Officer Buell to transport him or serve him meals. Mr. West is only requesting an accommodation as it relates to Officer Buell strip searching him or viewing his naked body pursuant to his deeply held religious Islamic beliefs. You know, the situation here is, yes, Mr. Buell or Officer Buell would be treated slightly different than other male prison guards. That's true. However, disparate treatment is not per se illegal. Such an accommodation doesn't violate Buell's equal protection. A sex-based difference in treatment requires intermediate scrutiny. That's what the court said. The prison has a compelling interest in accommodating Mr. West's religious observances and to protect his privacy rights against a cross-sex strip search. And that is the only way to accommodate. West's requested accommodation also doesn't violate Officer Buell's Title VII rights because sex is a bona fide occupational qualification to conduct strip searches pursuant to PREA. Accommodating Mr. West's religious exercise is not an equal protection violation, and as it is the only way for Mr. West to observe his beliefs. And my final point, Your Honors, is the district court erred in screaming out Mr. West's Fourth Amendment claim by relying on precedent overturned by this court in Henry versus Hewitt. Here, the cross-sex strip search violates Mr. West's rights to accomplish his goal of being protected pursuant to the Fifth Amendment to an unlawful search. Such law, such as having Mr. West being searched by a female officer or a biological female officer. There are other means to accomplish the prison's goals, and the other means to accomplish those goals would be to assign another male officer to strip search Mr. West while Officer Buell moves a few feet over in the same strips, in the same searching room that is discussed in the record below. Now, it begs the question, would this situation be different if West were a female and the prison guard at issue were a transgender female, but observably biologically male? I would suggest it probably would be different. But here, that's not our case. Our case is CREA provides that a cross-sex strip search cannot be legal. The requested relief that Mr. West seeks is consistent with that. In conclusion, Your Honors, we ask that the court reverse the district court's grant of summary judgment as to West's RLUIPA claim and the district court's order screening out West's Fourth Amendment claim and remand this case to the district court for further proceedings.
Thank you very much.
I reserve my time.
Thank you. Mr. Keenan.
Good morning, Your Honors. Assistant Attorney General Brian Keenan on behalf of the defendants appellees. We believe the district court properly granted summary judgment to the defendants on the RLUIPA claim based on the lack of a substantial burden, and that even if there was a substantial burden, that the defendants had a compelling government interest pursued in the least restrictive means. I'd like to start out with a substantial burden question. The appellant's brief often refers to like a cross-sex nudity taboo and has like claimed that the district court assessed the validity of Mr. West's religious beliefs, but that is not true. The district court accepted what religious beliefs Mr. West presented to it on summary judgment, which is really all it could do. In his deposition, he was asked, what happens or what do you believe is the outcome if you violate that? Like if a man sees your nakedness? And he responded, if I knowingly expose my nakedness to the same sex, then this punishment can be the hellfire in the hereafter, punishment for a short time or long time or indefinitely. So his answer was hellfire for a search by a man. And then he was asked, what's the punishment if you're searched by a member of the opposite sex? And he said, it's the same. So the taboo, and which is what he said on summary judgment, applies to both men and women, regardless of transgender status.
Mr. Keenan, what are we to do with that later point in the deposition transcript when Mr. West draws a distinction between females seeing him naked and males seeing him naked?
Well, what he said was, and I think the issue here is that he just did not even present this to the district court on summary judgment, so the district court could assess what to make of this. Well, what he said was there's a separate concept, separate from the nudity taboo, called fitna, which is supposed to prohibit him from causing unnecessary conflict. And so he, in his view, objecting to a man strip searching him would be unnecessary conflict, whereas objecting to Buell was necessary for him. And I think the district court never had a chance to assess how to weigh that in the as to whether that's a substantial burden. It does seem to make basically this based all on Mr. West's kind of subjective beliefs about, you know, what's necessary versus unnecessary, rather than, you know, this being seen nude, because he was going to be seen nude by someone to do the strip search.
Mr. Keenan, your argument on this point and the district court's treatment of this point cannot be reconciled with the language in the Supreme Court's decision in Holt. That case is the case involving the inmate who objected to the prison's requirement that he shave his face, and growing a beard was necessary for his religious exercise, but he didn't object to a restriction on the length of his beard. So there was a compromise proposed. He didn't insist on the full exercise of his religious rights under RLUIPA by growing a full beard and never trimming it, but proposed a compromise of a short beard to acknowledge or as a concession to the security interests of the prison, and the Supreme Court said that did not defeat the claim. Did not defeat his claim of a substantial burden. That principle is clearly in play here and forecloses the argument that you're raising.
Well, we believe that the taboo applies to everyone, and he needed to explain why this was still a substantial burden. The inmate in Hobbs was able to grow a beard. It wasn't exactly what he wanted, but he was able to grow and the prison prevented him from growing the beard at all. That was the
right. And the same thing is going on here. Mr. West is acknowledging the security need to conduct strip searches and is asking for an accommodation that's fully consistent with prison regulations and with PREA, which both of which forbid cross-sex strip searches. So he's simply asking that the prison system comply with its own regulations that prohibit cross-sex strip searches and comply with federal law.
Well, note in here, in the one instance at issue here, the defendants did comply with what he wanted. Apparently it was not good enough because Mr. Buell was in the observing position where he's not supposed to see Mr. West naked at all. And he is still alleged that that's a substantial violation.
It's my understanding that the prison strip search procedure calls for two prison guards to participate in the strip search. One actually conducts it and the other observes it. And Officer Buell was placed in the observing position in this case. And that's what creates the burden. Officer Buell participated as an observer, and that's the religious liberty violation here. And so there isn't any more that needs to be said about that. And to your point about a single incident, which addresses another of the district court's rationales here for the conclusion that there was no substantial burden, the prison made it clear in the grievance process that Mr. West would be expected to comply with strip searches that Officer Buell participates in the future and would be punished if he did not do so. So he's put to the choice that was at issue in Holt and in the Hobby Lobby case, which are the Supreme Court's two cases discussing the substantial burden under the federal RLUIPA and RFRA, which use the same standard. The inmate here is put to the choice of his religious exercise and punishment.
Well, I would just like to state something on the observer role in the strip search. The observer role is not supposed to see the inmate nude. So under West belief, we believe that
the observer role is placed... The officer in the observer role is placed at an angle to the strip search and can see what's going on. That's the whole point, right?
Well, it's observing the officer, the other officer conducting the search is what, and so it's like an L-shaped and there's stalls.
But within view of the inmate who's being strip searched, that's the whole point for the observer to make sure that the strip search is being conducted properly.
Well, there's like a privacy stall that the inmate goes into. The observer is supposed to be on the like at a right angle so that they do not see the nude area. And so we believe that that would be an accommodation that could be given and was granted in this instance, and that we do not admit that Wes was ever seen nude by Mr. Buell, given the way that this search occurred.
Well, you have to accept his assertion that Officer
Buell... For purposes of summary judgment.
Saw him, yeah. And you have nothing... that's an assertion without contradiction in the record, so there really is no factual dispute about that. You haven't contradicted that. You've denied it, but you have nothing to support that denial.
Well, I think the support is that under the right... Mr. Buell doesn't recall one strip search that happened years ago, but he does know the policy of which was followed and which should have been followed, that it wouldn't have happened.
Understood. So his factual assertion, the inmate's factual assertion is uncontradicted in this record, and so there's no factual dispute about it. A lack of recall is not a contradiction.
On the repeated violation point, I would just like to, or single violation, it's not our position that there would could never be a substantial burden with one incident of something happening. I don't think that was the district court's view either. I think it was trying to make sense of what Hobbs and Schlemm and those cases after Hobbs about what a substantial burden was. Here, there was one instance where the defendant tried to accommodate Mr. Buell or Mr. West. Mr. Buell tried to accommodate Mr. West.
Mr. Keenan, before you go too far down that road, you concede, I think, as you must, that the prison has issued an order that Mr. West comply with strip searches by Officer Buell in the future or face punishment.
Yes.
That's part of the factual record.
Yes, it is.
So he's being put to the choice that's forbidden under the Holt interpretation of substantial burden.
Well, I think in that case, these future strip searches, we don't know how they will occur. They could occur in many instances, and we don't know. Don't think it that
that's
they could
not
give.
A viable argument. He's been issued an order to comply, and we know that they occur at with some frequency according to prison regulations.
They occur in certain circumstances, like with a
visitor.
They
occur with great frequency, as you must acknowledge, because the regulations provide that they do occur with great frequency. After every visit, right?
Yes, after every visit.
After every, any trip outside the prison requires a strip search upon return to the prison, and there are several other instances that are categorically included in the strip search requirement. So strip searches are not infrequent in the Green Bay Correctional Institution or any other institution in the Department of Corrections in Wisconsin.
No, we agree with that.
Okay. So you have no other argument for the substantial burden point. Perhaps you'd like to move to the narrow tailoring requirement.
Yes. So the DOC's policy here is to treat transgender officers consistent with their identified gender rather than their sex at birth. We believe that that is consistent with the recent decision in Bostock from the U.S. Supreme Court that said Title VII protects discrimination against sex based on transgender status.
How do you reconcile that with the prison's policy that forbids cross-sex strip searches and federal law that prohibits cross-sex strip searches?
Well, so PREA is a separate federal statute which prevents cross-sex strip searches. That's a specific statute governing this, and Title VII is another general statute that applies to employment law, so we think that the specific statute of PREA would foreclose a claim by a female guard, for example, about not strip searching. We don't know that that's the case with transgender guards, given that what the regulations say is it's cross-gender strip search rather than cross-sex strip search. And so Mr. Buell does identify with a male as a male gender rather than isn't male sex at birth. But the prison has adopted a policy that the transgender men and transgender women would be treated like biological males at birth and biological females at birth. To the extent they start classifying.
Mr. Keenan, to the extent that you're trying to draw a distinction between gender and sex and transgender status and sex for anti-discrimination law purposes, you're contesting the whole rationale of Bostock.
Well, I think there is case law in this circuit that, if a transgender man is denied the use of a male bathroom, that's discrimination. And we think that's like the
principle.
And
does that survive the rationale of Bostock?
I think we have to act as it does, that if we discriminate against transgender individuals by treating them as, a transgender man as a woman, we think that would violate.
But didn't Bostock expressly reserve the question about same-sex bathrooms and same-sex locker rooms and other distinctions drawn based on sex that are long accepted as not violations of anti-discrimination law?
It did. We think we are risking legal liability if we start treating transgender guards as a separate class that have separate job duties and can't do certain duties because they are transgender.
But aren't you also risking liability because of Kanade?
That conceivably, it's a, you know, it's a uncertain area where the how to treat transgender individuals under these rules that apply to, like, probably before people were thinking of transgender individuals, you know, cross like the Kanade that women shouldn't be searching, strip searching men in prisons, how to treat a transgender man under that rule. We think to a certain extent that rule applied to transgender people could prevent them from strip searching anyone because it might be in the eye of the beholder what gender they are, depending on what the inmate thinks. Most inmates don't seem to have a problem with Mr. Buell, but West does, or perhaps some other inmates do, and consider Mr. Buell a biological female and therefore do not want to be strip searched by them. So that could just, you know, eliminate that part of the prison guard job from transgender individuals if they're seen as, you know, transgender men are seen as actually biological females. They wouldn't be able to do strip searches, I don't think. And I don't know that you could put them at a female prison and have them do strip searches either, because they, you know, are presenting themselves as men rather than women.
Is it really your argument, Mr. Keenan, that the opportunity to perform a strip search is such a key responsibility of a prison guard that it would alter Officer Buell's conditions of employment for purposes of a Title VII claim? To reassign Officer Buell to conduct strip searches only of non-objecting inmates or inmates without religious objections to the practice?
We think it could. It is an integral part of the job duties of a prison guard. We don't know that it would be possible to have a system where you have prison guards who conduct the strip searches and, like, basically, they wouldn't be able to strip search certain prisoners and would others. They might just not be able to do strip searches at all in order to staff the prison appropriately.
And the right to conduct a strip search is so integral to the job of a prison guard that it constitutes an alteration in the terms and conditions of employment for purposes of Title VII?
Well, we think that it could in the sense that they're being treated differently based on their transgender status, and so the harm is that they're being classified separately as transgender when separate from what their identity is. I don't know that, you know, the bathroom issue may be an open question, but that is doesn't seem like a large harm to, you know, there is a bathroom for you to use, but it's been found to be a violation. If they are, like, shunted off of certain job duties, we think they can be seen as, like, you know, they're just not true full prison guards. And that they could have a claim. I think we also just believe that the, you know, the requirement of the law, even without a lawsuit, is to treat, to not discriminate based on sex, and that it would be a discrimination based on their transgender status, which is discrimination based on sex. I'll move to the Fourth Amendment claim in the last couple minutes I have here. We admit that the district court relied on authority that has been subsequently overruled and just flatly dismissing the Fourth Amendment claim. However, we don't believe that Mr. West has a valid Fourth Amendment claim, even under the new case Henry. That case held that while there's not a per se rule against strip searches or per se, you know, bar on Fourth Amendment claims based on strip searches, prisoners still have to show certain things to make a strip search unreasonable in a prison, and it's based on the scope of the search, the justification for the search, the place of the search, you know, basically that it shouldn't be. And so those factors that were mentioned in Henry are just normal strip search factors that we have here. It was the standard strip search that occurs after a visit happens to, you know, basically every prisoner who has a visit. It was justified based on the same justification for those searches that occur, Chief Judge Sykes says, frequently, just to make sure that contraband isn't coming into the prison. The place was the room right outside. It's the same place as normal. So on Fourth Amendment basis, I think it was a reasonable search, and it wasn't unreasonable. The plaintiff's main argument is on Kennedy, although Kennedy, Mr. West brought a Fourth Amendment claim. I don't know that the district court had noticed that it was really a privacy violation claim under Kennedy and sort of a general right to privacy. So we think the district court properly dismissed the Fourth Amendment claim, even though it relied on the wrong, a case that's been subsequently overruled that Mr. West did not state a Fourth Amendment claim.
Is there any difference in the legal standards?
Well, we think the Fourth Amendment is based on search, the reasonableness of the search. Why are you searching
me? That was
me?
The rationale of the Kennedy decision as well, right?
Well, it's based on privacy rights,
the legal standard was reasonableness.
Yeah, but it was also it wasn't based on Fourth Amendment. Are you trying to find what are you trying to find, contraband or something else? So it's based on reasonableness, based on the privacy interests of the inmate in terms of other concerns rather than search for contraband.
Was balancing the security interests against the intrusion on the privacy interest and evaluating it against a reasonableness standard. It seems to me that it's pretty close to the Fourth Amendment standard.
And I just say at this point, and even what was alleged to have occurred was basically the inadvertent view under Kennedy rather than something else. So I see my time's up.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gowan.
Thank you, Judge. Just for the court to know, I only have 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Got a lot more time than that.
Thank you, Chief Judge Sykes. I want to start off by saying that the prison's actions, Officer Buell's actions, were not narrowly tailored. For the simple fact that they could still allow Officer Buell to conduct strip searches of non-objecting inmates. Presumably there are many, considering that Officer Buell only recalled 10 inmates during his time at the prison that had actually objected to him searching, not including Mr. West.
And, Buell's affidavit says that of those 10 that did object, Buell still took the role of observer, which was the role here.
Yes, Judge Brennan. And that's exactly what occurred here. And the issue is, this cannot be a decision that's made on the ground by prison guards. This must be a policy. Otherwise, it will be up to those individuals to decide how constitutional and statutory rights are actually attributed to inmates. And that's patently unfair, and it's not appropriate here. But this is a policy guideline. It can't be one that Officer Buell can decide. As was provided in the record, Mr. West asked multiple times for one of the other male guards to search him. And it wasn't until, it was at least his third request that another guard took over the search and Officer Buell went to the observer role, where Officer Buell continued to observe.
Yeah. Well, and Mr. West, in fact, requested a perpetual accommodation of his religious liberty in this context. It wasn't just a one-time request, as I understand the record, and as part of his grievance process.
It's part of his grievance process. He requested an ongoing accommodation, and he was rejected at both the initial level as well as the appellate level within the administrative process. So, and at this time, now, I'm not sure if it's in the record, but I'll state it anyway. Mr. West is again back at the correctional facility where Officer Buell is still working, to our knowledge. So this is an ongoing issue that may occur. And considering that also that in the record, Mr. West testified that he receives 3 or 4 visits a year, this could happen at any given time, particularly because Officer Buell, at least at the time where the record was submitted, was a floater. And as Officer Buell testified, being a floater means that he goes to different areas of the prison at any given time. And once again, to be clear, Mr. West is not saying he doesn't want to be around Officer Buell. This is not some bigoted view of saying, I don't want Officer Buell near me. This is a religious, a deeply held religion-based view to say, look, I don't want a biological female to strip search me and see me. It appears that the prison is attempting to elevate Officer Buell's purported employment rights based on only a mere possibility that Officer Buell's rights may be violated, when there is no dispute that Mr. West's beliefs are being violated. Now, along those lines, we believe that Kennedy one, at least, is directly on point, that this is a difference between sex and gender, and cross-sex strip searches are not permissible. Along those lines, Your Honor, we request that the district court's order granting summary judgment below be overturned, that the screening order related to the Fourth Amendment be overturned, and the case be remanded to the district court for further proceedings.
Thank you very much, and our thanks to both counsel. And Mr. Gowan, you and your firm were appointed by this court, and the court thanks you for your service to your client and to the court.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you very much, Judge. To both counsel. The case is taken.